Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Aleph. Vayik, Chalos Eledaber El Shaul. After he finished speaking to Shaul HaMelech, Benefesh Yonasan Nikshra, Benefesh David, Benefesh David, Vayavil Yonasan Kenafsho. So when he finished speaking to Shaul HaMelech, the soul of Yonasan was bound to the soul of David HaMelech. Yonasan loved him like his own soul. So we already talked about David and Goliath in our last parak over here. But there was a big bond, a powerful bond that came between David and Yonasan. There were a bunch of things. Number one, they were similar in nature. Both of them were go-getters, and they were willing to fight, even when there wasn't so to whatever it was. Number two, they were not cowered by their enemies. They were willing to fight no matter what. So not only did they get up and do it, but they weren't afraid of anything. Neither one of them was there. And number three, there was a sense of holiness that David and Melech had that Yonasan recognized. And from there, says Medrash, there was a connection between them. And number four, there was humility that David HaMelech had that Yonasan saw, and Yonasan emulated. Yonasan also had the humility, so there was a connection between them over here. Chazal say that the love of Yonasan and David was a love that will endure, because it's not based on anything. There was nothing else that it was based on. That's the type of love that goes for quite a bit. And number five, the craziest thing is that Yonasan recognized that there was an air of nobility by him. It's the air of something that's out there. And if you'll notice, once again, we've noticed in Pasuk Aleph, Yonasan is, again, the hay makes it into his name. The Al-Sheikh says, again, whenever there's their friendship or Yonasan does something awesome, the hay is added on. And here, over here, it talks about the connection between
them. Could they have been the same age also?
It very well could be. Remember, that would make Shaul HaMelech older, though. Right? Remember, we already said before that Shaul HaMelech was definitely older. We don't know how old, but we know that he was older. The question is how old he was. So if David HaMelech was 30 and Yonasan was 30, then Shaul HaMelech was at least 50. At least 50. But the likelihood is that Shaul HaMelech was older than Shmuel HaNavi. That's what we talked about earlier because of the age of his own son, of Ish-Boshes. Anyway, Shaul took him on that day. Did not allow him to return to his father's house. He took him into the royal court. This was not necessarily over here to trap him. He thought that David HaMelech could be a guy. He had his suspicions of who David HaMelech was, but he was willing to take him on. And remember, he had promised that he was going to marry off his daughter to whoever the person was that's going to kill Goliath. And they made a bris with one another, David and Yonasan. Yonasan removed the cloak that he had for him. He gave it to David. As well as his stuff, I guess you say his garments, right? But ad karbo ad kasho ad chagoro, even his sword, even his bow, and even his belt, he was able to go through there, and he was sort of conceding what David HaMelech was going to be, the sign of royalty, so to speak, to give him all that, and the weaponry to say that I'm under your authority. That's how the Malvim understands it. And the crazy thing is that if you'll remember, there weren't that many weapons in Klal Yisrael at the time. If you'll remember, the Plishtim didn't have it. The only people that had it in the first war against the Plishtim were Yehonasan and Shaul HaMelech. The king, the sword that Yehonasan had must have been a very expensive, very special sword. Nonetheless, he gave it over to David went wherever Shaul sent him. Yaskil. And he analyzed everything, says the Sefer HaYashar. He knew what the outcome was going to be every time. He put him on top of the war. Everybody was happy with the Gambini Avde Shaul. Not only that, but also with Shaul's servants. David. So when they came, when they returned, David HaMelech came back from slaying the Plishtim. The women came out. Women came out from all the cities of Israel, Lashir Valacholos, to sing and to dance. Likras Shaul HaMelech to greet Shaul HaMelech Besupim, together with the drums, Besimcho Vishalishim, as well with Simcho and Vishalishim, because obviously they had just won the war against the Plishtim. This is unbelievable. There was a lot over here. Their intention was that they wanted to praise Shaul HaMelech. Vata'anena Hanashim HaMesachakos. They raised their voices, the women who were playing these instruments, Vatomarna, and they said, Hika Shaul Balafav, Shaul has killed the thousands, V'David Berivosav, and David HaMelech his tens of thousands. Now,
how do they translate Hamsachakot?
Hamsachakot. They were playing their instruments?
Doesn't make sense, because when you're playing an instrument, you say Minagnot.
That's a good call. Maybe they were extremely happy. I didn't actually check what they said over here. Perez and David, yeah, I don't know. That's how they end up translating over here. But that's that. All right. The funny thing is, you wouldn't do that to the king, would you? I'd be like, Shaul's okay, but David, how would you say that in front of the king itself? Clearly, that's not what they wanted. It's like saying that the words were in praise of David. In other words, Shaul HaMelech has done so much in his lifetime, and now David will take over. Like, that's the thought that they had. This was not animosity or feeling anything toward the king, but Shaul HaMelech was looking for an excuse, and unfortunately went that way. There's also, you should know, there's a sefer Rinas Yisrael, that the word Bata'anena Hanashim is not that they sang, but rather they recited these lines of praise, with the musical instruments behind them. What do you got in there?
The rejoicing women.
The rejoicing women, masachakot. Yeah, that makes sense, right? And then Tziv says there was a stanza, there was a lot of parts to this song. This was like the stanza of the poem, but there were other parts of this poem as well. Okay, but there are many, right over here, the Nachlas Shimon, one of the greatest farm that's written on Navi, right, that we have it right over there. It's a huge, huge set, unbelievable set. He has a huge piece on Kol Isha based on this pasuk. It seems pretty clear that the women were singing in front of Shaul HaMelech and David, right? So, can you matter Kol Isha? The heterim that are given of many women all together as one, right, all in one place, right? That's that they say that type of a heter could come from this, but he gives a bunch of different answers. The Rina Stroll is one of them, the Netziv is the other one. But the main point of what they're saying is Vata'anena, that they'd answered back, but they weren't necessarily singing. Okay. Shaul got very angry. He was very evil in his eyes, all this thing. They're giving David 10,000. I've just got 1,000. All he needs is the malucha. Even as David from that day on, he looked at him suspiciously. He all looked at him and said, something's wrong over here. What's crazy is, he didn't even realize what he had said. He's like, oh, you might as well give him the kingdom. And he's like, how did that just come out of my mouth? And he realized, oh my gosh, I'm already saying what this person should have over there. That's something that's pretty crazy, and that's that. Rosh Shuvim Prachya taught, if somebody would have told me beforehand that I should take on some position of prominence to become a Rosh Yeshiva, I would have said no. But now that I'm already the Nasi in Klal Yisrael, said Rosh Shuvim Prachya, said if somebody would try to take it away from me, I'd punch him in the face. I would do anything I can, like a lion, to be able to go. He was Nasi of the Av Beis, I don't remember which one, right? Because one of the Zugos. Yishon Prachy was one of the Zugos together with Nitai or Bailey. Yeah. So whichever one, he's
I'm
one of the two.
Singing the song already.
Which one?
There's a song about
that. Oh, yeah. It's a Gemara Chagiga, Mishnah Chagiga, whatever. But, like, yeah. So that's that. But he said, Shaul HaMelech was an unbelievable anav and ran away from the kingdom. But as soon as he got it, he's like, I can't get away from it. Pasuk Yud. Vayumachros, the next day, Vitzitzach Ruach Elokim Ra El Shaul. There was a spirit of evil that was a spirit of God that was evil to Shaul. Shaul felt horrible about everything. Vayisnabe Bisoch HaBayis. And he was raving in the midst of the house. Obviously, Vayisnabe is referring to prophesying over here. The truth is that there's no real difference between a prophet and a guy who's crazy. Just the difference is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving the crazy talk to say. The other guy is just doing it out of his own whatever it is, right? Meaning, in theory, it's an irrational prophecy. That's what's happening when a guy is absolutely crazy. He doesn't know where it's coming from. It's just coming over there. The Barbanel says, no, it was an actual prophecy. He prophesied that David was going to take the Malucha away from him. He was prophesying and saying, David is going to take over and it's going to be
so
bad.
So he's muttering to himself like he's going to take
correct,
over.
Correct. But it actually, according to Barbanel, it was actually a Nevuah. That's that. So he sat there. But so David was playing on his harp, right, or whatever it was that he had. Kiyom biyom, just like he did every other day. Shaul HaMelech was holding onto the spear. Now, there was nothing unusual about that. Shaul HaMelech had often held onto his spear. The spear was probably by his throne. Vayatel Shaul Vasachanis. Shaul raised the spear. Usually it's a spear. Cherev is usually a sword, right? But Vayomer Akeb David, I'm going to strike David Bakir and hit him against the wall. Vayisa David Mipanov, Pa'amayim. David turned twice. Now this is absolutely crazy.
Shaul HaMelech dodged. Even he actually threw something.
Not on purpose over here. This is the craziest part. He was in turmoil. He was pacing back and forth, clutching the spear in his hands. He couldn't take care of himself. These disturbing thoughts were in his head, and he couldn't deal with it. Right? And Shaul HaMelech suddenly took the spear and threw it on the wall. David HaMelech didn't even notice. He happened to duck. Didn't even notice that it was there. Right? Looked around and he was like, "What was that?" Didn't even notice that something was happening. The second time, he did it a second time, and again, he made it try to appear unintentional, and again, David HaMelech was not even known at Kadosh Baruch Hu, turned him away. That's by Yisov David. He was turned, so to speak, from doing that, and that's supposed to be that. The Malbim says, David continued to play. The simple shot is that David HaMelech realized, but couldn't move, because if he moved, it would obviously be Morid B'Malchus, but it sounds like a Kadosh Baruch
Hu.
You
have to allow himself to be killed by the king?
Remember, he's in this crazy state right now, so maybe just take the spear away and allow him to be, and eventually he's going to get better. That was the first thought that he had. But when Shaul HaMelech saw that a Kadosh Baruch Hu was turning David away accidentally, like he's throwing the spear and all of a sudden David is like that, and it goes right past him, he was afraid. Hashem was clearly with him. Im Shaul sar, and he had turned away from Shaul. Therefore Shaul removed himself from him. And he made him an officer of thousands. So he had to go out between the people itself. Well, the point of this was obviously get him killed in battle. If I can't keep him in the household because I'm going to kill him, get him slain in battle, and that'll end up being.
Is there such a thing as attempted murder? Like, the king can't just kill whoever he wants.
No, but he could say it's accidental.
But there's no, he has no...
Target practice. It slipped. And are you going to be able to take down the king? You could do that. Shaul Melech was not in the greatest state at this time, and that's what he would have excused it on. The Sefer Yikarim says this backfired. He had a plan, and his plan was, okay, I'll let him go out there and do whatever he's going to do. But the problem is that as soon as he got out there, he was awesome, and the people loved him, so he became more beloved by the people, which made him hate him even more.
It seems
even
like he made him like a Saralafim. That's a higher level than...
That's to get him to go out to the
army. No, I know, but it could either be like he just wanted the arm out of his sight just so he wouldn't think about it anymore.
I hear you.
And also, if you wanted him to be more on the front lines, why make him a Sar Elef? Make him a Sar Meah or something, and then he's be closer to the front lines.
I would think the Sar Elef is the one that goes out to the front lines because he has the many people. He has the multitudes. The people of the Sar Meah were more important. The Sar Chamishim were more important. They would have stayed a little bit further back.
No, Sar Elef is on top of a Sar Meah.
I hear what you're saying. Yeah, that does
make
sense.
The irony in all that.
Maybe it meant, not that he was a Sar Elef, but he was involved with the front lines. He was trying to get him as much as he could out in the front lines.
The irony is this mistake that Shaul's making now is the same mistake that David makes.
What do you mean with David? With Avshalom?
No, with...
Uriah.
Yeah, sends him out.
Oh, by sending him out to the front lines. A very good call to try to get him killed.
But Uriah was literally a foot soldier.
Yeah,
he
and that was
the front line.
Yeah, but no.
And not only that, there was also a Merida B'Malchus over there. While here, there was no Merida B'Malchus.
He's deranged.
Yeah, I guess, because it's crazy. It is an interesting call that they both sent him to the front line so that they're killed indirectly. So to speak, as if let a Kaddish Baruch Hu do it in war. You know, let the spirit
hit
him.
Right, but it just seems like he sees that God is with him. Mm-hmm. You know what? I might as well get something out of it and have him win wars for me.
If not for everything else around it, I can hear it. But with everything else around it, with Dovin Shaul just attempting murder and then saying, you know what? He's
right,
awesome.
Right, yeah, because he sees that. So he's like, God is with him.
I hear
he's
you.
Got,
like, so since he's got something,
I'm gonna lose,
maybe let's send
so
him out
well
anyway.
Win something.
Okay, I hear that. That makes sense. But he Dovin L'chol D'Bracha Maskil. Everything he did, he was successful. Hashem Imo. By Yar Shaul, Asher Hu Maskil Ma'oid. He saw that he was even more successful. Yagrami Panav, and he was terrified. They all loved David because he was going around to everybody. Even the tribe of Binyamin loved David. Shaul said to David, look, I've got my daughter Merav. Obviously, this is a time when he's not feeling so bad. He's feeling okay. He said, I'm going to give her to you as a wife. But I want you to be courageous for me. I want you to fight the wars of Hashem. So Shaul said to himself, I don't want to be upon him. Tibo Yad Pelishim, let the Pelishim kill him instead. Yeah, so that's the idea behind it, right? So he added on that condition over here. Now, this was not an additional... honestly, there was no reason to add anything on to be able to marry Merav off to Dovid HaMelech. There was nothing there. He said, if you kill Golias, then you get Merav. That's what should have happened.
Well, he said
it didn't
daughter.
Happen that
he didn't
way.
Say Merav.
Now, that is true. But I would have taken somebody. So he said, Merav, I need something else. And that's exactly what we're going to say. We're going to say, he's going to say, but if you want Merav, then you got to do something else. Bring over David Shaul. Mi anochi, mi chayai, mishpachas avi b'Yisrael, ki ayachasin l'melech. Who am I? And who is my family? What is my life? My family is just a regular person in Yisrael that I should be the chasin l'melech. Now, the problem with the Meforshim say on this pasuk is, David Melech saying, well, who is my family that I should marry into? Your father's Yishai, and Yishai was one of the most important people, was a Rosh Hashiva who had thousands of Talmidim. If anybody was ready to marry the king, it would be the child of Yishai. That's not so far off from what you'd think, who would marry the king's daughter. So it is strange, they're saying, who is that? So they read it another way. Mi anochi amichayai, who am I and who is my life? Mishpachas avi b'Yisrael, my father's family is a famous family among Bnei Yisrael, but I'm not. My older brothers maybe, but I'm not. I should be the Chasal Melech, and that's how you read it. You would read it sort of like that. What am I supposed to be? There is the drush that comes from this pasuk that if you remember, David Melech was never supposed to have lived. The 70 years were given to him from Adam Rishon. It's from this line, Mi Anochi Mi Chayai, should I have lived in the first place? They darshan it from over here. How they darshan it, I don't know. But Adam's years are darshan in the Medrash from this pasuk over here, Mi Chayai. Vayibayis tase es Merav bas Shaul leDavid. When he gave Merav, the daughter of Shaul leDavid, when Shaul HaMelech was ready to do it, he nitna ladriel macholasi leisha. She was instead given over to Adriel, the Maholasi, as a wife. It's unbelievable. So the Mitzudo says that Merav had already accepted a Kiddushin, that this wasn't Shaul and Melech's fault, that they were ready to marry them off together. Shaul thought everything was good, went up to his daughter, and his daughter's like, oh, I already accepted Kiddushin, Dad. I thought you knew.
She's older.
She was old enough to be able to accept it on her own, meaning more than 12, right? But she accepted on her own. She was ready with somebody else. The Malbim says he never intended to give Merav. He wanted to make Dovid HaMelech look like a fool. He wanted to have him standing at the chuppah waiting for Merav and then say, oh, wait, no, I didn't mean that. Right, that's that.
Opinion?
The first one was the Mitzudas Dovin. The Radak says it as well, right? That it invalidated the deal, and that's supposed to be because she accepted it itself, right? But so that's that. But tell Michal about Shaul's Dovin. But Michal, the daughter of Shaul, the other daughter, loved Dovin. They told it over to Shaul by Yishra Dovin of, and he said, "Oh, okay, I'm okay with that." And that's that. Now there is a Shiloh over here. Was there a kedushin to Merav or not? Was there an actual kedushin or not? What constitutes a kedushin if a father says, "I'm promising my daughter as an engagement if you kill Golias," and he brought Golias' head over to Shaul Malach? Was that considered enough of an engagement, a kedushin, in order to be Koneher? If that was Koneher, then obviously he couldn't marry Michal because he can't marry Achos Ishto. He had a kedushin to one. And what? I'm sorry?
She wouldn't be able to marry Adriel.
Well, if not for Dovin Melech giving a get of some sort, right? At least the Kedushin wouldn't be Chal unless Dovin Melech gave her a get.
But there was no stipulation of which daughter.
That's definitely true. However, it seems that it was accepted to be Merav. So Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion, David married Michal after Merav died. Merav was fully Mekudesh to Dovin Melech. They were Mekudesh, and he only married Michal after Merav had died. Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha says, no, it was invalid from the start. There was no real valid Kiddushin behind it, and therefore, there was no such thing. There was no two sisters over here, and that's going to be Mutar over there. So that's that. Others say, Shaul Melech had never really promised this. There was no real Kiddushin. That's why he kept asking the warriors, but they didn't know. There was a rumor going around that the king was willing to give his daughter to whoever defeated Golias. When he went to Shaul Melech was like, yeah, not really.
Maybe this is a proof for the tzad that says Yesh Brera. I'll give you my daughter.
Very good. And that's good enough. That it's it.
We'll find out later. It's going to be Michal, not
very, very good. Yeah, Yesh Brera can be learned out from this pasuk. The question is, we know that doesn't work. Logically, it doesn't work. Well, but maybe that's because Shaul HaMelech, we don't pass
it
like Shaul.
Work and how, I mean, yeah, maybe
there was,
work,
a,
and then
there was an opinion that
role.
Goes away. That's interesting, because Dovin HaMelech passed in the other way. Aim Brera. That's why he was able to marry Michal. That's really good.
Well, this is Dovin. Maybe he was passing later on the second later on based on Midash.
It's really good. Vayomer Shaul at Nenelo. Shaul said to himself, I'll give her to him. Tilo Lamokish. You know what? She's going to be for him like a snare. Tibo Yad Plishtim. And the Yad Plishtim, the hands of the Plishtim, will be upon him. Vayomer Shaul, David Vishtaim Tizchatim Yayom. So Shaul said to David, all right, you'll be my son-in-law through the second one. Maybe not through this one. Right? I'll put somebody else over here. And that's going to be over here. So maybe that's what it's going to be. Vayitav Shaul is David. Dabrul David Balot. Speak to David quietly. Lamor. Tell him, the king wants you. And all of his servants love you. You should be the son-in-law of the king. Now, what does that mean? You have to convince him to be the prince? The answer is yeah, because Dovin HaMelech thought, and he's like, what just happened to me? I just got knocked out in my own wedding. He was so upset at what happened with Merav, he thought something else was going to happen with Michal. So he said, no. He said, I'm not doing this. I'm out. Right? And that's why you had to convince him to do it. They spoke in the ears of Dovin, what he wanted to hear. And said, David, do you think it's easy in your eyes to be a son-in-law of the king? I'm poor and insignificant. What's going to happen next time? I don't know what's going to be. That's how the redaction understand it. Yeah.
Was there kedushin between Yaakov and Rachel
Before Har Sinai, so before the Torah was given. So in theory, it's going to be okay. However, it did look bad because of the laws later on. That's the reason why Yaakov Avinu doesn't bench Lasad Lavo. But there are many answers also. It was a Gershon Yitzchak Katan Shinola dummy, right? Because Rachel and Leah had to convert, so to speak, in order to marry Yaakov. There were a lot of different issues that you can get into. But overall, yes, there are issues with what happened with Rachel and Leah without a doubt. How you're Mekadosh with 7 years of work anyway is a little bit of a kasha, but that's supposed to be. Others say that Dovin HaMelech specifically said, I'm so poor and insignificant. He's like, didn't Shaul HaMelech promise tons of money to the person who defeats Golias? I haven't seen it yet. So I'm poor. I don't have any money yet because Shaul hasn't given me anything yet.
Why did Shaul think that she would be a Mokesh for him?
He probably thought that he could convince Michal to be, you know, like a person to tell him where David was at all times and whatever it was. And we'll see later on, he feels betrayed by Michal when Michal ends up saving David HaMelech's life. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. This is what David HaMelech said. This is what you say to David. The king doesn't want any type of dowry. He only wants 100 orlas of different plishtim. You should take revenge against the king's enemies. Again, he wanted to make him fall in the hands of the plishtim. Because here's what he thought. To kill 100 Plishtim and take off their foreskins, the Plishtim were going to be so angry that they mutilated the dead, right? That they were going to start fighting David HaMelech and do anything they can to be able to destroy him. And that's that. Not only that, but he thought that David HaMelech was now going to go into battle, not L'shem Shamayim, but he's going to go in order to grab the foreskins and get married. That way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's not going to be with him because he doesn't have the schus of doing things L'shem Shamayim. Maybe then the Pelishim will be able to defeat him. So in Pasuk Chavod, Yagiru Avadu L'David is a Devarim Ha'ela. The servants told over these words to David HaMelech, Vayishar Adavar Be'enei David, L'Yishchat HaMelech, V'lo Malo Yamin. It was right in David's eyes to become the king's son-in-law, and the time had not expired. So in other words, there was still time. There was a deadline, right, for him to get the foreskins. By that time, he decided he was going to do it.
Yakum David HaMelech, Huva Anasha Ve'ach. He already did what he was supposed to do to marry the king's daughter.
I guess now, because Michal, right, that was Meirav. That's over.
Yeah, but
so now you got to do something else. Vayapa Pelishim Masayimi. She killed in the Pelishim 200 men. 200. Vayav David Zahra Loseim, Vayimalum LaMelech, and he gave them in full to the king. I don't know how he gave them. I'm assuming in a bag. Lischatim Melech to go be married to the king. Neitin L'Shol is Michal Bito Leisha. I'd like to be the guy who was commanded by Shol to count those foreskins. Can you imagine that guy? I want you to do it, right? And you go check that out.
It's crazy,
right?
Though,
but that's that. That's unbelievable.
It was such a peaceful thing. Neitin L'Shol is Michal Bito.
Yeah.
That's like... After everything, that's after all everything. It took.
Well, because now he said, like, okay, now I have keep your enemies, your friends close and your enemies closer, right? Now I got it. It's really good. I didn't kill him then. Maybe the police aren't going to come after him. I have to. Vayar Shol, Vayeda, Kiashem David, Shol saw, he knew HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with David. Michal Vashol Ayavaso, but Michal, his daughter, loved him. Vayosef Shol Lerom Yibnei David, Shol continued to be afraid of David. Oh, even more so, Vayishol Oyeves David Kol Yamin. He was the enemy of David. And now the Radak says he was openly against David HaMelech, right? An open enemy once he saw that Michal had this love for David HaMelech that he couldn't break. Kept telling Shol, Michal, oh yeah, well does he do that? Right? He wants to knock down his son-in-law. Michal's like, no, he's the greatest chassid in the world. He's the greatest person in the world. He's a great husband for me. Shol couldn't find an excuse. Vayitza Sari Pelishim, so the Sari Pelishim went out. Vayimei Deit Seisam. Each time they went out, Sochal David. David was able to win. Mikol Avdei Shol from all the other Avdei Shol, but Yikar Shmo Ma'od, his name became very highly respected. Chazal say that it's not just from this, it's because all the different things that are out there. Remember, a man is putter from going out to war during the first year of marriage. David Melch should not have gone out to war. That shouldn't have happened. So they told him, David, you have to stay down. But he said, no, the halacha is that's only for a voluntary military campaign, but it's not if the Plishim are fighting against us and we're fighting a defensive war. It's a defensive war. It's a Mohammed's mitzvah. And that way I go to war, even though I'm just married, I'm allowed to go ahead and do it. Even if I'm under the chuppah, I'm allowed to do it. He paskin that way, and everybody heard it, and they said, he's right. That's a good psak. And everybody respected him, not just for his abilities in war, but for his erudition as well. Perek Yitas, Vayidaber Shol, Yonos and Benel. Shol spoke to Yonos and his son, Vayal Kovid, and all to his servants. The hummus is of it. It's time to kill David. Yonasan ben Shol chafetz b'David Mo, but Yonasan, Shol, the son of Shol, he loved David very, very much. The Abar Benel was trying to encourage, says that he was trying to encourage his servants to do anything they could to take down David HaMelech, to make sure that David HaMelech was going to go down over here.
On what grounds, though?
Nothing. He was trying to find grounds, and that's exactly it.
But he says it's time to kill him. What grounds?
He's just sitting there. He's trying to arouse. He's like, is there anything that David HaMelech did? What can we see? It's anything like that. It could be that he was speaking to Yonasan, and Yonasan specifically, he knew that Yonasan and David were friends, but he's trying to say, he's going to take away your throne, Yonasan. He's going to take away your throne. Do you really want him to do that? What are you willing to do over here? And once again, guys, if you notice, there's Yonasan in the beginning of the Pasuk, V'yahonasan ben Shol chafetz b'David Ma'od. Again, when he has his love for David HaMelech, you see the hay added onto his name, a spiritual advancement, one would say, when he had that level on him.
So it's not Mord Malchus if somebody asks, if a king asks somebody to do something that's forbidden?
It is. And then we're going to see that later on when he says to destroy the city of Novir Kohanim. Amasa and Avner refused because they said, we don't have to do it. That's a chet. We're not doing it. So they refused and they said, we're not going to do it. And that's why you have to ask Doeg. And Doeg's like, sure. And goes ahead and does it himself. Vayagad Yonasan leDavid leMor. Yonasan told David, saying, "Mevakish Shol avi laMisecha." It seems like Shol, my father, wants to kill you. V'atay Shemina baBoker. You got to be very careful in the one of Yeshatu b'Seisim Nachbeisa. You should hide in a secret place. Hide yourself, right? And that's that. This is interesting, by the way. Look at the wording. Mevakish Shol avi laMisecha. You allowed to say your dad's name like that? Not to go around and do that. So halachically, you can't because it's Shol avi, right? But usually, you just say my father. Mevakesh Avi, or Mevakesh HaMelech, right? They learn from here that a son is permitted, when not in his presence, to call by his father's name. Even the king, which is a massive power, a a real pella that he was able to do it, but halachically he's able to do that. I'm going to go out and I'm going to stand by my father in the field of Asherat Hashem where you're hiding there. I'm going to speak about you to my father. Right? I'm going to see what he answers and then we'll figure out what it right over here. In other words, if you hear it, good, I don't have to tell you. The redak says, but if you can't hear it, then I'll tell you what it is later on. So Yonason spoke well about David to Shol, his father, over here. I don't understand why you're sinning against his, you know, the servant of my father, David. He never did anything bad to you. Everything he does seems to be good for you. The Malbim says, whenever you see the word bid David, bid something, something negative is being said about that person. Whenever it's a bid instead of a ba, or owl, or whatever, anything like that. So the way that Shol, Yonasan got Shol to talk to him is that he first started saying bad things. He's impetuous, he rushes headfirst into danger, but he wins. Isn't that a great thing? That's how he started speaking about David.
The only way to get somebody to listen to you is if you start to...
Yeah, so that's what he said. He said it in that way to be able to get it. It was sort of like the Meraglim did. They started saying, yeah, the land is awesome and great, but there are giants in the land, but there's a Molek in the land, etc. But Yosem is Nafshe B'chapo. He puts his soul in his hands. Vayachas Aplishti. He kills Aplishti. Vayas Hashem Chua Gedolucho Yisrael Yisrael Tismach. You saw the great salvation that he did for all Bnei Yisrael with Golias. You rejoice. Lomatech B'dam Naki Lohamis is David Chinam. Why do you have to sin by spilling innocent blood to kill David without any cause whatsoever? Yishma Shol B'kol Yonason. So he listened. Vayishav Shol Chai Hashem Yimos. He swore by the life of God, he is not going to be put to death. He took an oath. He realized that he was weak. He realized that his character was weak in this regard. He wanted to control himself by swearing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's names. His intentions were pure. So he mamish made a shvua in God's name, I will not kill David HaMelech. Baruch Hashem, he kept that shvua that never got broken, even though he tried. But you can only David, Agalul Yonasan is called Vermeila. He told it over to David, by Yabba Yonasan is David Oshol. But you'll find him cast Moshe Oshol. And it happened, as in previous times, everything was good. There was more wars with the Pelishim. So David went out to wage war with the Pelishim. So he killed them, a huge maka, again, a great blow. They ran away. Remember, they were probably still seething over the humiliation they had over the 200 orlas that were taken by David HaMelech. They were willing to do anything to go fight David HaMelech. But again, the spirit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was evil to Shol. So he's sitting in his house, Yoshev, sitting down with his spirit in his hand, David Menachem Biyad, and David HaMelech was singing or playing music with his hand itself. It says that he played with his hands. His heart was not in it. And that's why he wasn't helping Shol at this point. He no longer wanted to do it. He recognized there's something there, but he had his hands working. His hands were able to do it automatically. Shol and Melech once again wanted to throw the chanis at David and Melech on the wall. But he evaded Shol. This time, he noticed, he knew, and he went away. He threw it against the wall, but David already had run. And that night, he escaped completely. The Rabbag says it was still a miracle that he escaped the attack. It did not make any sense that he was able to escape the attack. Obviously, Shaul Melch was very good with what he did. He was a real warrior. The fact that David Melch was able to anticipate right when Shaul Melch was able to throw it and already start running was a miracle of one of many proportions. Right? The Malbim says that it was such a miracle he didn't notice it until the spear was already in the air. But he was far enough away that he was able to evade the spear. Just barely, though. Shaul sent messengers to the house of David, Lashamro, to watch for him, Ula Misa Boker, and kill him in the morning. Michal, his wife, said to David, Lamor, saying, if you don't save your life tonight, tomorrow you're going to be dead. Now, the truth is, it is weird. The messengers were never going to kill David in front of Michal. That was never going to happen. They were going to... The idea was they were going to convince him that the king wished reconciliation, bring him in, and there Shaul HaMelech would have him killed. That way he wouldn't be killed in front of Michal. That was the easiest thing behind it. That's how the Radak says it over here. The Ralbag says he also had to do it privately because everyone loved him. He didn't even know what the guards wanted. He wasn't sure if these guards were on David's side or if they were on his side. So he wasn't sure. So just bring him in and that's that. At this point, the Miri says he made Tehillim Nun Tes. Tehillim Nun Tes, which talks about how he was able to escape that night from Shaul HaMelech. But Torah Michal's David be'arach alone. Michal lowered David by the window, by Yelech, and he went, by Yivrach v'yimaleit, he ran away, and he was able to escape. So the what's it called? Rashi says that the reason why he did this is because she didn't want to have anybody else involved. If anybody else was involved, she has no idea. She had no idea if David Melech would be able to get out. She wanted to give him as much time as possible, so she said, go out through the window. I'm going to take you out the window myself and be able to pull you down. Chazal say, if you notice, it says, Vayelech Vayivrach. At first, he was walking so that he wouldn't be noticed. And then he started running. Vayimolit is eventually he escaped the city. Chazal say also, the Medrash says, this was Shabbos. It was Friday night when he escaped in the middle of the night. And even though normally you're not allowed to go out of town, since it was Pikuach Nefesh, he ran away in the middle of the night on Shabbos itself. Michal is a truffin. Michal took these truffin, these mannequins, she put them in the bed. She took a goat skin, put it at the head, and covered it up with a garden itself. Now, this is a very, very, very strange thing. De Barbanel says one of the weirdest things I've ever heard in my life. De Barbanel says she made a mannequin in David's image to remind her of him while he was away. I have no idea how that's mutter. And now she uses it to save his life. I have no idea.
I forget about mutter. Like, why is that not really weird?
It's really weird also. Yeah. It's really weird also. There is a truffin that says by Paro that he had one of Sarim, but this is just the weirdest thing in the world. Okay, there are a number of answers that goes to over here. One is that truffin are never considered avodah zarah. They're only Aser Midrabbanan, and the Aser Midrabbanan had not been made yet.
Wait, okay? What was that that Lavan had?
Oh, no. That was a different type of truffin. That was the heads of the Bechors that they put up against the wall, and they put, like, spices around it, and they had, like, a thing inside it. But that's what the truffin were.
But what?
They sound the same. Truffin are, like, mannequins. Just what you do with it is the problem. Are you using it for avodah zarah or not? But that's what this truffin is. That's number one, that it's only midrabbanan, and that's that. Number two, truffin is a general term that's used for any type of statue that you need. And she needed it to be able to put clothes on and whatever and stuff like that. So it was like a mannequin she used to use for clothes and stuff. That's number two. You know, if you've ever noticed somebody who has, if you sew clothes or whatever it is, you need to have like the shape, body shape that you put the dress on or the, whatever it is. So she had that, and that's the reason why she did it over there.
King's daughter, what is she making clothes for?
It could be for her servants. She had something in the house, you know. Number three, cushions and bedding that were stuffed into, that was a truffin. It looked like a human body, but it wasn't actually a human body. It was something that was like that. You know, they have now the body pillows, yep. You know what I'm talking about? So it was a body pillow. That's what she ended up doing over there. The fourth answer is that truffin are used. I've done that many times when I was in high school. Put a little, the body pillow inside there with a little thing of goat hair on top to pretend that it was me. Many times, right? All the time. I mean, come on. A fourth answer is that there were different types of truffin, right? One was used for telling the future, and that was one. And the other one was avodah zarah. That's a strange thing altogether because it sounds like both of those are also. But regardless, that's like that over there. It's possible. There is a mefarish, but the Mialmois doesn't say who, that she put it there so that if it became necessary, she would tell her father that David had found it and used it to learn the future, that David HaMelech was in trouble with Shaul, and that's how he ran away. Because he knew what was happening, but it wasn't me. That's upshot. That's given over there.
Who found out about it?
That David HaMelech found out from these truffin what was going to be in the future, knew that you were coming after him, and that's how he got away, but I didn't tell him that you were coming after him. Like, that's how Michal excused herself from it. That's an interesting one in itself.
She's incriminating him.
Yeah, well, she does. Vayishal Shaul Malachim Lekach says, David Tomer Cholahi. She said, he's sick. Vayishal Shaul says, Malachim Leros is David. So he sent other messengers to go see David Lamor. Halu also mita Eli Lamiso. Bring him on a bed to me, if you have to, in order to kill him. Vayavol Malachim Inia Trofim Lamita. They came, and they saw, lo and behold, it is a statue in the bed. How did we get fooled from the goat skin? It certainly looked like his hair. Again, I have no idea how that happened. Vayishal Michal, Loma Kachar, and you said, why do you trick me this way? Shalchi is you sent away my enemy,
that's
my lady
escape
escaped
from prison.
Goatskins?
Well, I mean, they put like
they do something.
Things, yeah, like something similar to this.
By Tomer Michal Shol, Michal said to Shol, "Hu amar Eli Shalchini l'mamiseich." Right? He said to me, "Send me away, let me go. Why should I kill you?" Although the first obligation is a woman, the woman's first obligation is obviously to her husband, not her father. She's not allowed to cause her father any suffering. And therefore, she was allowed to lie because otherwise she would have caused tremendous suffering by now thinking that his own daughter was against him. And that's why she was allowed to lie this way. If Shaul HaMelech was trying to kill David anyway, I might as well blame it on David in order to not get myself killed or for my father not to be so angry. David Barach, David ran away. By Mullet, he escaped by Yavol, Shmuel, and Ramah. He went to Shmuel and Avi. He came to Ramah. Obviously, he said to himself, listen, maybe there's a Nevuah here for me. Maybe there's something I'm supposed to know. I did not expect any of this. How did I know that any of this was going to happen? So he went over there and he told him. He said, he told him everything that Shaul was doing. So they went, and they went to live by Nayos. They went to right over there. Now, that's weird, because again, Ramah and Nayos are not near each other. So Chazal Darshan over here, that what it means by Ramasa, they talked about the Ramah, the highest point in Eretz Yisrael, may not be physical, may be referring to spiritual, where they would build the Nayos. The Nayos is the most beautiful thing of all time, the Beis HaMikdash. Their discussion was, don't worry, you will be king, and hopefully the Beis HaMikdash will be built by you. Where are we going to put it? Shaul HaMelech had already paskined where he wanted to put it, but he wasn't going to be able to build it. David HaMelech is now going to paskin that it's going to be in a place called Ramah, and that's what it refers to the Nayos itself. That Barbanel says, it's unbelievable. Shmuel and Avi now showed kavod to David by letting him go versus Vayelech Hu Ushmuel. They went, he and Shmuel, David HaMelech was able to lead, and that's the idea behind it, what's going to be. It could be that this was the consolation that he told him. You will live, you will get the Beis HaMikdash, don't worry about anything over here, and that's that. But the kasha is, but why? Why did David HaMelech have to undergo all this? Why did he have to undergo all this? So, we already learned the Medrash last week, all about what it was like for David HaMelech for the first 30 years of his life, where they thought that he was a mamzer, right, where they thought he was from another, where at the Nitzavis Basadol was together with another man, and David HaMelech was from that, that's why he didn't look like any of his brothers, and then he'd gone through. But if that Medrash is not to be taken in pshat, and that didn't happen to David, and David lived a charmed life as the son of a Rosh Yeshiva, together with a great mother, as well as unbelievable brothers, and that he was a tzaddik gummer who had everything awesome in his life. If that's what happened, David had to undergo suffering to make him royi for kingship. You need to have something. You have to be tested in order to have that compassion that you're going to have for people over here. It's also to cleanse him from sin, so he gets a kapara for everything that was going to happen over here. Maybe that's the reason why, and it was supposed to be that day. Chazal teach us, David HaMelech spent the entire night learning Torah, right? And that shows his greatness. Even though his life was in danger, he should have been running, he sat there and he learned. What's interesting is, he sat there and he learned Torah, even though he ran away on Shabbos. Mechal Shabbos, but he didn't have an excuse to stop learning Torah.
No,
meaning, according to that Medrash, meaning he had to go outside the Tchum. He had to run outside the city's Tchum, so he for sure broke Shabbos. Anyway, Vayugad L'shol Leimor, he named David v'Nayos v'Ramah. David is at Nayos in Ramah. And again, if it was the actual part of the city, that's interesting. Maybe Nayos was the pasture land outside of Ramah. Otherwise, he's in this area. Vayishal Shol Malachim, he sent messenger L'kachas David to take David v'Yaris L'hakas and Avim Nibim. They saw the band of prophets that were prophesying, obviously the students of Shmuel. Shmuel Omei Nitzav Alayim. Shmuel was standing in charge of them. Atiyam Malachi Shol Ruach Elohim. At that moment, the messengers of Shol Malach got a spirit of God. Vayisnabu Gam Hema. They began to prophesize as well. The Abarbanel says, what was the prophecy? David is about to become king. David is about to become king. They started prophesying exactly that. The Radak says it was words of praise. They told over to Shol, Yishlach Malachim Achim, he sent other messengers, Nabu Gam Heman. They also got lost prophesying. They also Shol, Yishlach Malachim Shlishim, he sent a third pair of messengers, Nabu Gam Heman. He also began prophesying. So he went to Ramah. He came up to the big pit that was by Sehu, not even in the city. By Yishal, and he's asked, by Yomer, Epo Shmuel, where is Shmuel Bedavid? Vayomer hinei b'nayus b'ramah, there are nayus in Ramah. Vayelech shomal nayus b'ramah. Vatiyah lov gam hu rach Elohim. As soon as he got close, he started having the spirit of God. This wasn't his first time. The messengers had to come up to the Nevi'im in order to get the Nevuah. Shomal was able to get it when he was just close by because he had already been used to this. Vayelech aloch b'nis nabah, v'yis nabeh, and he started to prophesy as well. Adbo b'nayus b'ramah, until he got to the area of nayus b'ramah, all the way until he got it. That's the pshad that was supposed to be over there. And it could be once again, this stopped him for a second because his spirit of melancholy had just left him. His spirit of that horribleness that he'd had up until now left him because he was now prophesying in the name of God. Vayivshad gamhu begadov. So he took off his clothes. Rashi says he took off his kingly clothes and dressed like one of the students. Maybe because he was prophesying. Maybe because he was embarrassed to appear in the royal garments in the home of Shmuel when Shmuel told him he would give the throne over to somebody else. But he's not going to live in Shmuel. Vayipo arom kol yomahu v'chol laila. He sat there naked. Obviously, it's possible this is physical because he was crazy, but it's more likely the Rabbag and the Radak do say that, but it seems more likely that he sat naked as in no sins, nothing wrong, pretended like he was the perfect person, kol yom huvachol laila, al ken yom agam shol b'nevihim, and that's why they say, also Shol is a Navi? Is Shol really a Navi over here? And that's that. Shmuel's power was the ability to infuse others with the spirit of Nevuah, even though they'd never had it before. There's an unbelievable story of Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva Eger had the Nesivis, Rabbi Yaakov Melisa come visit him, and the Chassam Sofer was there as well, the Rabbi Kiva Eger's son-in-law, right? They were all sitting together. So the Nesivis was asked to speak. The Nesivis got up and spoke out at Devar Torah. The Rabbi Kiva Eger, after he finished, spoke to the Chassam Sofer. He said to the Chassam Sofer, that was amazing. What do you think, Reb Moshe? What do you think of that? And the Chassam Sofer said, well, I had an issue with it. And he asked the Shiloh that knocked, slugged up the entire shear. Right? So the Nesivis was kind of upset. So he turned to the waiter. Rabbi Kiva Eger turned to the waiter who was walking in and out the whole time. And he said to him, what do you think of this, Shmuz? right? What do you think of the Torah? And he said, well, I don't have any kashas on the Nesivis because this, that, like all these knockouts of the Chassam Sofer. And the Chassam Sofer turned to Rabbi Kiviger and said, it's not fair. You can make the walls talk if you wanted to. So the Chozem Lublin explained the story that the Chassam Sofer knew that Rabbi Kiviger had a tremendous power. He was able to, what he did was, that guy, he was walking in, he had no clue what was going on. He was a waiter, you know, he was like, he had no idea. He wasn't listening to the whole speech. Rabbi Kiviger wanted him to answer, but he didn't want to answer himself to feel like the Nesivis needed Rabbi Kiviger to answer for him. He wanted him to feel like it was an easy answer. You could have realized it yourself if not for the fact that the Chassam Sofer was here. So he gave it over to that kid itself and made the kid have a thought of something that he never would have had otherwise. And that's what Shmuel Hanavi did over here. He was able to give this prophecy, this Nevuah, in the hands of somebody else to make someone else prophesy, even though he didn't. He wasn't able to go through it.
Story for non-Hasidi.
Yeah. Well, Shailev, the Chassam Sofer, was a shtickle Hasidish. He had no Hasidish of blood. He was as Hasidish as you can get when it comes to his drushes. Chassam Sofer.
No,
Rabbi Kiviger is Litvish. Yeah, Litvish. It was Rabbi Yaakov Elisi. He was for sure Litvish. For sure Litvish. You're dealing with it. Yeah, there's no question. But it's a really crazy one.
Aren't you the son of Rabbi
Kiviger? I am. Yeah, seventh generation. Rav Tzadok HaKohen, Rav Tzadok Milblim, he says that the shot behind this in that he says the levush, the begadim, are the garments of the soul, right? The body itself. The soul is able to soar above without it, and that's what ended up happening. He was able to leave his body behind, and his soul was able to get somewhere else. All right, Perakov, let's start off at least. Vayivrak Dov Mino Yoz Barama. Dov Mino ran away from Yoz Barama. Vayovo, Vayomer Lifne Yohonos, and he said in front of Yohonos, Ma'asiz Ma'avoni Mechatas Lifne Avichol Yivakash Nafshi. I don't get what I did. How did I sin? Their father is searching for my soul. Said the Malbim, if I did anything, kill me, then I don't deserve to be king. But if I didn't do anything, tell me, what in the world do I have to do tshuva for? Vayomer Chalila Lo Tamus. Clearly, you're not going to die. He named Lu Us. I'm sorry, I'm missing the word over here. Luasu?
Lo Yaase.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Lo Yaase Avi Davar Gadol O Davar Katan Velo Yigla Zazi. There's never anything that my father has done that he didn't tell me before. I'm like, do Yester Avi Mani? Why would he hide this from me? Davar Azeh. Ainzos, it's not going to happen. He was absolutely convinced, and he was not afraid whatsoever. He said, listen, when my father has that spirit of evil, that's when he gets upset at you. So stay away from him during those times. The rest of the times, he's fine. You don't have to worry about that whatsoever. But this was no longer true. Shlomo Melech wanted to kill David even when he was in his good times. He hid it from Yonasan, simply put, because he knew the bond between them, and that's the idea behind it. Now, there's a shaila about what happens next. Was Yonasan convinced at this time, and he knew, and therefore he went ahead with the test that he was going to propose? Or he wanted to convince David HaMelech that he was right, and therefore he said, I'll show you. I'm going to show you exactly what it is. Meishava O David. David swore again. Your father definitely knows that I have favor in your eyes. And he's saying, I don't want Yonasan to know about this because he's going to be sad about it. But you should know, there's a fesa, there is a step between me and death right now. I'm mamish right over here. The reason why he swore is simply put, Yonasan couldn't believe it. So David HaMelech turned to him and said, buddy, listen to me. I'm swearing to you there's something else going on here. It is not just when he's crazy, there's something there. He knew it's from the spirit itself. I was a step away from death, mamish, a step away from death. I can't do that over here. That's the idea behind it. Now, it does say...
Yeah, but you said that, that clearly a miracle was done for him. So God is looking out for him. All those people came to kill him, and they became Nevi'im, and everything was fine.
I definitely hear you. You know, it's funny. Chazal blamed David HaMelech for accusing Shaul HaMelech of this when he just heard from Shmuel and Avi that he was going to live, and he had nothing to worry about. So Chazal say, this is a problem on David HaMelech's part, that he couldn't believe this.
Take precautions.
100%, but he didn't have to say this. There was no need for him to go so extreme. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a Nevuah that you're going to live through this. Everything's going to be okay. Don't take the next step. You don't need the next step. Just stay away. Just stay away. But he did it, so they're blaming him for it. Whatever you say to do, I'll do. I'm willing to do anything over here. I'm willing to endure my father's wrath and even take on his Muslim and possibly even be killed to be willing to do whatever you want me to do. Tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. And yet, definitely we say this in Erev Rosh Chodesh, when Shabbos falls on Erev Rosh Chodesh. I'm going to sit down with the king to eat. I normally am sitting with the king to eat. Shalachtani, I want you to let me go. When he starts, I want to hide in the field out of Erev HaShlishis until the third Erev. It is pretty awesome over here. Rosh Chodesh was actually a chag by them. They celebrated it as an actual holiday. They had full meals together. They mamish made it into something that was special. We no longer do this, but it is pretty awesome. Yeah.
Mechar Chodesh is the beginning of the Haftorah, right?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So it's later on.
Yeah. No. But this is the. No, Machar Kodesh. That's
the word is Machar.
Oh, you're right. No. You're right. Maybe it's a little bit further. You're right. If your father misses me, Va'amarta, and you say, Nishal Mimeni David. David asked me permission, Lerutz Beis Lachem, to run to Beis Lachem, Iro, to his city. Ki Zevach Yom Shem L'Chol Mishpach, because there's a yearly sacrifice there for all of his family right over there. Now, remember, he hadn't been by Shol for very long. The fact that there's an annual sacrifice there shouldn't shock Shol. He's never seen him for more than a year. So it's possible it's right over there. Maybe there was a miracle.
The Kodesh was tomorrow.
Oh, they didn't. They probably had a cheshbon. The Rabbi Bachai says they always had a cheshbon.
You had to, right? You knew today's the 28th or 29th.
We're going to see. There were 2 days of Rosh Chodesh this month.
Well, the first day there was Beit Safek, but then it wasn't really Rosh Chodesh was the second.
Right, but that means that they kept it because they always kept the day just in case it would be Rosh Chodesh.
The 30th day was always kept.
Yeah, they always kept it, and then when they saw that no Edom came, so they kept the second day as well. So Pasuk Zayin, Ko Yomar Tov Shalom Lavdecha. If he says everything's good, don't worry, then peace is to your servant. But if he gets angry, Daki Koso Ramimo, then you should know this is going to be bad for me. I want you to do Chesed with your servant, because you should know there's a bris that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us in together. If I have done a sin, kill me. Ata, you. But don't bring me to your father. Your father's going to torture me. I want you to kill me yourself, says the Al-Sheikh. He mamish asked him, I want you to swear to me that you yourself will kill me and not hand me over to your father. I'd rather be killed by you. Right? If I were to know for certain my father has decided evil against you, wouldn't I tell you? I would tell you no matter what. Right? But he said very simply, he said, you can't say these words. Don't open up your mouth to the Satan by saying what you have over here. Kill me yourself rather than your father kill me. That's not the right thing to do. That's what he's telling him. Pasuk Yud, who's going to tell me whether your father is answering me harshly or not? Let's go out to the field. And they both went out to the field itself. They must have realized somebody was walking by and there are too many ears around. They said, you know what, let's go outside. So they walked outside where they knew they were being loved. By God of Israel, by the time of the third morrow, that's like 3 days from now, v'nei tovel David, I will find out if it's good for David HaMelech. V'lo oz eshlach elecha v'glusias enecha. Then I'm going to immediately send to you, I'm going to reveal your ear. And I'm sure that's what's going to be, and you won't have to worry about anything. I'm going to make sure that it's going to be good, and everything should be fine. Ko yas Hashem l'yonis v'cho yusiv, may God do this to Yonis and even more so, ki yitiv l'avi elo esaro, if my father has seen it right to do evil to you, elecha, v'glusias enecha, then I will also tell you, v'shilach tikha, I'll send you away immediately, v'alach to Hashem, you'll go in peace, v'yashem yimach, and Hashem will be with the kashar yimavi, just like he was with my father up until now. So in other words, if it's going to be good for you, I'll tell you immediately. I'll send you back. I'll even send a messenger because I don't have to do it myself. I'll send it right over there. But if it's evil, I'm going to come myself and I'm going to tell you. I'm going to give that. The fear is that if he sends a messenger, the messenger might tell his whereabouts to Shaul HaMelech, knowing that Shaul HaMelech wants to kill him. He said, if it's good, I'm going to send somebody over to you. If it's bad, I'll make sure that you find out from me myself. V'lo im ad odeni chai. Right? I'm not going to ask you while I'm still alive. V'lo sasi mori chesed Hashem v'lo amus. I'm not going to ask you to do anything v'lo amus, rather than I die. Meaning, v'lo im odeni chai. As long as I live, v'lo tasi mori chesed Hashem v'lo amus. I know you're not going to do anything but the chesed Hashem. I will never die by your hand. And I know that, said Yonasan. I don't want your chesed to be removed from my house forever. Nor should, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu cuts off the enemies of David, no harm should come to my direct family itself. The Radak said, I know if I'm alive, everything will be okay. But if I'm dead, I want you to keep my family no matter what. I don't know what my kids are going to be like. Keep my family. And that did happen. Remember when the Givonim wanted to kill the 7 sons of Shaul HaMelech for what Shaul HaMelech had done to them? Mephibosheth was kept alive. Mephibosheth, the son of Yehonasan, was kept alive because of this bris. He was the only son that was alive from Yehonasan. That's the reason why. Vayichos Yehonasan in Beis David. Yehonasan made a deal with the house of David. Bikesh Hashem Yad Oy VeDavid. May God seek all the punishments that he should get from the enemies of David itself. And this is a guarantee that everything would be protected. Yehonasan is going to protect Michal while he was away, as well as everybody who sided with David, so no harm would come to them whatsoever. The enemies of David may be a euphemism for David HaMelech himself. He said, obviously, if David does not fulfill his part of the deal, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu kill the enemies of David means, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu punish David HaMelech himself. We'll talk about that right over there. That did end up happening, unfortunately. Remember when Mephibosheth and Tziva said that Mephibosheth did something evil by Absalom, right? And he believed the Lashon Hara and took away half the property of Mephibosheth. At that moment, HaKadosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu said in Shemayim, David's kingdom is going to be split in half. And because Yonasan had cursed him that if you do something to my kids, something's bad going to happen to you, he did that to Mephibosheth, that's what happened to him as well. Some say this is written by Gad HaNavi later, after everything had happened, after everything was done. All right, we'll stop right here, guys. We're on Pasuk Yud Zayin. We'll stop right here and we'll go to this next one.
Yurchad is already the...
Oh, so yeah, by Yosef Yonasan Lashbias David, Bav, also Kiavas Nafsho Ahevo. That prompted him to take another oath. He loved him. He loved him as he loved his own soul. And that's what happened over here. We're on Pasuk Yurchad. So we'll stop with that.